stuff going on this week in the streaming wars with all the DC news and House of the Dragon news. I mean, all of this stuff. I'm probably going to be using some of this stuff on a lot of different of our channels because there's literally so much stuff has happened. There's even some Star Wars news we've got to talk about here. So I actually felt like that Matt Nez was actually probably the best place to discuss it.
Right.
And then we can actually, you know, you'll see some of this stuff on all of our other channels just for, for the sake of it. So, so much stuff happened this week. We're going to start with, I guess first, should we start with Andor got moved, got delayed.
Yeah.
And She-Hulk got pushed back a day. Do we, I mean, what are we thinking about? We had talked about this over on our Hyperspace Hangout podcast. You know, we talked about the idea of, man, should Andor get moved? Is it going to be doing well against House of the Dragon and Lord of the Rings? And so not only did they moved it, but they moved it back a month.
Right.
And I actually think it's good for that show. And then we're getting three episodes day one, which is crazy, but at the same time, it's kind of good.
Yeah.
But then also the Bad Batch, you know, animated series.
Right.
It was supposed to start. They haven't said anything about it yet, but I bet it's getting moved back.
I bet it is too. So I was shocked. The trailer came out and I was looking at it because I was anticipating, I think it was the week after House of the Dragon. So like House of the Dragon was going to drop the 21st and the 28th was going to be Andor, the week of somewhere in there, you know, whatever, whereabouts. And I was like, what the heck? Okay, we're gonna have a lot to cover. And then the trailer drops and it says, what did it say? September 21st, I think. Yeah.
So it's moving back like 3 weeks.
Yeah, like at least three, if not 4 weeks. And it's like, wow, that is a huge thing. Because they said, as you mentioned, they're going to drop the first three episodes to kind of get everybody going. It was a bit longer. I don't know exactly. Did they release is it 10 episodes or is it more?
Yes.
12.
Andor is going to be a longer show. Yeah, we do.
A bit longer. So that's cool. So that means they can kind of postpone that. I think you have to imagine, right? If House of the Dragon comes out and then Rings of Power again, September 2nd, that is a double hit. Like you have 2 weeks where that first pop of House of the Dragon for 2 weeks straight, it's going to be all the talk, all the rave, all the stuff on the internet. And then Andor would have been dropping between House of the Dragon and Rings of Power, right in the middle.
And up against She-Hulk on its own platform.
Right, on its own platform. Yeah. So I think it's a good move. I'm with you 100% that it's a good move. As much as I want Andor, as soon as possible, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. We're going to cover all of it. We're not going to cover, you know, we're not going to stop here. So just because there's so much coming out. I mean, if they try and overwhelm Matt Nez and see if we won't cover every freaking show you throw at us. But I think this is good for the show, though. You know what I mean? Like it might give it a chance to get that initial surge of Rings of Power will be doing its thing. You're going to have 2 to 3 weeks where, again, House of the Dragon, all that hype hits early on. It's still going to be a good, solid show. It's still going to be, you know, tons of viewership or whatever. But like that initial wave of people went in, they checked it out. All the critics are doing their thing. That happens. Then it's going to happen for Rings of Power. And then Andor is the third sort of wave. I mean, it still could get a little overshadowed. Basically. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? But it's probably a better option.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for Andor. One, because I think Andor, you know, the more we look at it, the more I actually have gotten excited for it. And I think it's kind of like the nature of all the Rogue One story. When they first announced it, we were like, okay, like, you know, I don't know. Obviously Rogue One ended up being amazing and is like a top four Star Wars movie. Right. And it was just sort of when it first was announced, in between, you know, The Force Awakens, where we were still hyped, and The Last Jedi, when we were still thinking Last Jedi could be great, you know, whatever. It ended up being the sequels. Yeah, everyone has their own opinions of it. But, you know, so when it was announced, we were like, who cares? Right. And then it probably ended up, I would say, in my opinion, it is the best Disney Star Wars movie. Hands down, it's so good. So it's just sort of like when the Andor series was announced, we were kind of in the same boat. Like, who cares? Like, especially because now we're into The Mandalorian and Obi-Wan was announced. So here they are saying, hey, we're going to do this Cassian Andor series. And it's like, what's it even going to be about? And then we see the trailers and it looks good. And we see the second trailer and it looks even better. So it is going to surprise people. It's one that's still sort of on my back burner. But I think the advantage they have of moving it back is, you look at, say, Miss Marvel. and even Obi-Wan a little bit, right? They dropped. There's just so much. There was just so much content around it. I feel bad for Ms. Marvel because I ended up watching it and loving it. But man, Ms. Marvel was competing against Kenobi on its own platform, which I actually think is bad. I really do not think Disney should release a Marvel show and a Star Wars show at the same time.
Yeah.
I just feel like you just want to lift up that one. That's kind of like the one big thing because they're so big. I think it just hurts the other. Maybe their idea is that way we can lock people in. Like if there's two a week on our same platform, they'll go, oh, I want to watch whatever the Marvel show happens to be. You know, at that time it was Kenobi and Ms. Marvel. And now it could be, say, She-Hulk and Andor. But I just feel like it's better served to have the one. So the other one doesn't get buried. So then it's like, okay, I'm hyped. Okay, what's the next thing? And you have so much content with She-Hulk's now going to be 9 episodes, it looks like, which is the longest Marvel show. Andor is going to be 12 episodes, which puts it in the same length as Mandalorian.
Wow.
So you've got that content going for a long time. I just don't, as a consumer, I feel like I would so much rather just have. Be able to constantly have it.
Yeah, for sure. The way I look at it is I'm a fan of Star Wars, but I also like Marvel. So you're pulling me in a lot of different directions where on your own platform, you know what I mean? I think if you were, let's say, dropping a Star Wars thing and then you dropped like a kid's cartoon and you're dropping different stuff like High School Musical over there on that platform, might not be the same audiences or whatever, which is fine. Then you're still feeding it with content and stuff. I guess maybe the idea is that they want that overlap just in terms of keeping people on, you know, like when Kenobi's over, are people just like, oh, I'm clicking off or I'm unsubscribing as soon as that's over, you know, people kind of jump on and off or whatever, try to save themselves a few dollars. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're trying to do is gain people into staying more subscribed. I mean, I think the yearly subscription is a pretty good deal, who knows? I mean, I do think that kind of can. I guess like if Kenobi would have been in the position of Ms. Marvel, I would be more upset because I felt like Kenobi still kind of got by a little bit and because it was first and it kind of had its moment. I mean, still other platforms were kind of the thing, right? It was Stranger Things and other things that were kind of coming out, but it still was, you know, it didn't get lost or buried. Whereas like if you're a fan of Marvel stuff more so than you are Star Wars, your show kind of got like buried for a second and people like me didn't even go finish it because I don't know, it got lost. So, and I will now, but I mean, like,
So, I mean, I will say though, that I do feel like, you know, Ms. Marvel was in a different, was in a, unfortunately in a different category where it wasn't just competing against say Kenobi, which is just another big show at the same time. It was also competing against The Boys and Umbrella Academy, which were two other like superhero shows, right? So that's like even more difficult. Like that's one of the things with say Rings of Power and House of the Dragon, where those are, you know, fantasy settings going head to head. So I'm actually glad Andor is getting moved. We're getting 3 episodes at once, which is going to be crazy. But that's fine. It's also a longer series. Yes. So getting 3 at once in a, you know, 12 episode show isn't
it's not as bad because
you still have 9 weeks.
9 weeks, I think it's smart. I think it's honestly really smart because it gets you out of that initial shadow because it's, you know, not that House of the Dragon won't carry hype the whole time that it's on, but initially the first episodes 1, 2, and 3 are going to be massively covered and people are going to, you know, be into it and locked in. So you then, you know, once you get, I just feel like, I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like giving it room to breathe, let those shows shine for a couple weeks. I mean, House of the Dragon, hold on a second here. It will have 5 episodes out almost.
It'll be halfway done by the time Andor, by the time Andor starts, House of the Dragon will be halfway over.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're looking at, just in terms of the biggest curveball out there, I think, or the biggest unknown is honestly Rings of Power. And I think we have no idea which way this is going to go because of the fan base or whatever. And I think people need to just go watch it, enjoy it, see what happens because it could be massive. But I'm thinking that House of the Dragon is bigger. Matt agrees with me on this. I think it's going to be way bigger.
Yeah.
But there is a big question mark with Rings of Power. And so if you're Disney, the question mark is that that's the second thing coming out. So the further you can get away from the big heavy hitter in terms of House of the Dragon, the better. You move your show down there, and then it'll have its time to shine. Because they've worked so hard. They've worked for so many, like several years on this. This has been in the works for a long time. And I'm like, what the? We've been covering it since I can't even remember, like the early rumors of it coming out. And I'm like, what's the show going to be? And then they released something, and I'm like, okay, it seems like they're pretty far along. And then I just didn't care. And then Kenobi even came out. Kenobi is announced after Andor, but comes out before Andor, you know. So it's just been out there for such a long time that I do want it to have its moment to shine. And apparently they think it's really, really good. I hope it is. But yeah, this is a good move. This is definitely a good move, I think. And yeah, especially with it being 12 episodes, that's a long time to be running week to week.
So it's good. So what do we think? We shift gears here a little bit. So what do we think this does to Bad Batch? Do we think with Andor getting moved back, do we now think that Bad Batch is going to be moved back as well?
That's a great question. So because you would have a little bit of overlap there. And do they release their shows on the same day? Isn't it always on like that Wednesday or like, you know, at midnight or something? I think Disney I'm not sure if it's the same, if it's that way for Star Wars and different for other projects. I don't really know
It does. So before, I believe both I believe Obi-Wan and Miss Marvel released on Wednesdays. They used to do Mandalorian on Fridays, but now I don't know. And then maybe they're just picking and choosing depending on what's going on. I think She-Hulk is now going to be releasing on Thursdays. So I would have to imagine.
Yeah.
Maybe they do have
a different release date than because if they overlap, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I wouldn't want Bad Batch coming out on Wednesday and/or episode 8 or 9 coming out on the same day. Like, yeah, that's awesome. I just want to watch Andor, cover Andor, talk about Andor with my friends, and then on Friday, Bad Batch is coming out. Cool, you know, give it a couple of days. It's an animated series, and people don't, you know, some people aren't as into that. But in the Star Wars community, they want time to kind of consume that. So Lucasfilm, they're in charge. I mean, that's the thing. You're in charge of that fan base and making sure they have a good experience with what you release. I hope they're on different days, but we'll have to kind of see, because you know they put the banners up, right? They say when you go on the app, it's like new Andor episode is coming out, and then the Bad Batch one, if it shows up a couple of days later, that's cool, you know, then you can kind of funnel people there.
So Andor still is going to be finishing the same time. I just have to imagine, I just feel like maybe Bad Batch, the same thing will happen to it as well, where they'll move it back a few weeks, and then we'll get like 3 episodes at once, which is kind of what Disney, I think, is it seems like they're trying that out more and more, where I think, and I actually kind of like it, where I do kind of like the idea of getting, it's kind of like, I think it's the best of both worlds, where it's sort of that in between of Netflix, where Netflix just drops everything at once, which for the first time they actually did Stranger Things a little differently, right, where you got part one and then part two, which gives you time to absorb it all, and you get to stream like the whole thing.
Yes.
I kind of felt like that's maybe the way. I kind of feel like the Disney model of doing it, say 3 and then weekly, is I almost prefer that more than Netflix all at once and
or just a straight weekly
or just straight weekly. Yeah, because then you get it. Then you get to get into the show just real quick a little bit to be like, is this something I'm really gonna like? Yes or no.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, because I do like to binge, but at the same time, I also like to prolong the experience. So by theorizing, by speculating, making predictions, doing all that kind of stuff. And you can say, well, you're a content creator, but I feel like even when it's something that I'm not cover as a consumer. Yeah. I love to Miss Marvel, for example, we don't cover that at all. And I was talking to Lottie and I was talking to you a little bit about it. And it's just like, you know, I would like to have more time to kind of consume that or expand the experience. So that's good. You get a little binge in the beginning to get you locked in. What's this going to be about? Because sometimes in one episode, it's tough to even tell, are you in, are you out? Because for example, The Mandalorian, I love The Mandalorian. You love it. It ended up being amazing. But I have literal people at work who were like, too slow. I watched the first 2 episodes and it just didn't go anywhere for me. And it's like, man, you didn't stick around. You know, you could have got 3 up. Maybe had they been, those are the type. So it's also types of people. You know, you Matt's often talked about like types of consumers in terms of bingers or your week-to-week people, your water cooler discussion people, whatever it might be. You have different types of people who want to, because your mom, for example, is just binge crazy, right? You know?
Oh, God, man. She just plows through it.
I love it. And I love that stuff. But then Stranger Things did a really cool and unique thing, which was to say, let's let you binge and then let's hold off for a month. And like, it's not too far away. That was really unique. And I'm really happy that they did that, because it does show people that it can be done different ways and opens it up, you know, the formula.
I guess for me, it also depends too, where it's like when say a new show that's totally new, say hits Netflix or whatever, any streaming service, usually I don't really try it out until say a season two is coming or a season two has been done, because you hate to watch something and then, you know, it gets canceled. So I guess for me, the difference is say on Disney with, or anything, but I think Disney's a great example with Star Wars. You know, when a new Star Wars show comes out, like Book of Boba Fett, let's say that you cut out all the Luke and Mando stuff of it, and it was just a self-contained little isolated story about Boba Fett, I'm still going to watch it, because, and I think the same goes with Marvel, because it's connected to the bigger universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, even like Moon Knight was one I watched because, well, it's connected to the bigger thing, so I know it's going to matter later. Whereas, you know, just some random new show on Netflix, you know, it could, or whatever, any streaming service, it could get canceled after season one. You know, like Glow was a show I liked, right? That was like is all about like professional wrestling and stuff like that. And then, you know, it got canceled because of COVID. So they didn't even end up finishing the series because and that happens sometimes where it just acts and doesn't get a final season. But I guess the advantage in Star Wars and Marvel and, you know, Game of Thrones and all these other streaming, all these other big connected universes is it's connected. So it does matter, even if that show does terribly and it gets canceled. So I think that's, you know, one of the advantages that Star Wars has.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting just to kind of, all the different, as the shows come out, I think they're learning from each other and they're sort of, you know, you analyze the data and see what works best for your consumer and then what works best on your particular platform. And it's such an interesting time because you're competing between different platforms. You know, you have other people doing it a different model. And then, because actually, remember Amazon did that with like Wheel of Time? They dropped three episodes to start. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, are people, that's, you know, something Disney, I don't know that, I just think it's neat. I think you got to try it and see what works best for your consumer. So, yeah.
Cool. Interesting. Okay. So let's dive into the big news of the week, man. The HBO Max, Warner Brothers Discovery sort of shareholder meeting and everything.
What happened, dude?
That went down. Okay. So a lot of stuff happened. And I'm going to sort of relate this back to, you know, like Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon and everything and what that means for it going forward, as well as DC and some of these other things.
Right.
So when the merger happened, when AT&T sold off, when AT&T sold Warner Brothers to Discovery, one of the things that we knew was going to happen was a bloodbath among Warner Brothers, because there's a lot of things that are failing very bad at Warner Brothers right now, including Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
The Fantastic Beasts movies have sucked.
Right.
Sorry. Right. We watched all three of them.
Yeah.
They were sort of okay, but they've declined.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the only thing that's actually really worked at Warner Brothers is HBO. And you know, Game of Thrones and all of these things. So there's a problem, however, in the branding. And I've always felt this with HBO Max, is that there is kind of a problem with the branding. The advantage of Disney Plus is, with Disney Plus, when I think Disney, I now think Star Wars and Marvel and like old Disney cartoons, right?
Yeah.
When you hear the name HBO Max, it does not directly correlate to you Warner Brothers, which is really what that platform is and will be, was.
Yeah.
In that when you go on there, it has Cartoon Network. It has, you know, so you can watch Looney Tunes. You can watch, you know, any of the Cartoon Network shows. It has Turner Classic Movies. It has current HBO stuff, and it has DC, which is like a you know, big thing. So when I hear that, I don't necessarily correlate HBO with this. Then you have the problem of HBO regular, which is like, you know, you get through cable or satellite.
Oh,
and right. HBO Max. It's kind of like a few years ago before they did HBO Max. Remember, there was you had HBO if you had it on TV through cable. Then there was HBO Go, and then there was HBO Now. And it was like, which one do I get order? And it was super confusing. So they still sort of feel, one, that there is a branding issue with HBO Max. And now you have the Discovery content with Discovery Plus that is, and they want to merge them and make one thing. So, which sounds good. I get that. The idea of the idea of merging the two things and making it say Warner Brothers Plus or whatever you want, or just come up with some new name, kind of like, you know, Peacock for NBC, because that's sort of the logo. You come up with something like that. I get it. The problem with the reason why there is an absolute like uproar in like on the internet right now was sort of the way they described it during the shareholder meeting. So this is where things started happening. So they outright canceled a few things, including the Batgirl. So there's a lot of variables. There's a ton of variables that go into this. So one is they outright canceled the Batgirl movie, which they spent $70 million, probably $90 million on. That was going to bring, say, Michael Keaton back as Batman. Then they canceled like a Scooby-Doo movie. They have begun removing a lot of HBO Max like original movies and content and things like that, just like sort of quietly off the platform.
Okay.
And so, I mean, DC has it has so many problems with it in the first place. The DCEU is a mess, has been ever since it was really created. And that's for a ton of reasons, which we've gone over in the past. And we're like that going forward. There's a lot of problems with it because Ezra Miller is like a train wreck and super liability, as well as some of the content just apparently isn't good. So one of the things that was great that came out of that was, hey, we want to make quality movies. So they said they watched this Batgirl movie and it sucked. And they were like, we're not showing it. Sorry. The advantage was when they bought Warner Brothers from AT&T, they took on an enormous amount of debt. And I guess the way the tax laws work is you can sort of cancel it and you can write it off as like a tax break. So it actually, because they took on like, you know, $40 billion of debt or something to buy Warner Brothers, however much. So they can actually start to say, hey, we can actually save money by canceling some of these things.
Even though
that money was already sort of spent, just, you know, government, big corporations, you can do all that stuff.
Right.
This is, and I have some pictures here, and this is where some of the other like fan uproars came about. So because the internet, I mean, if you look at surveys, HBO Max is considered the best streaming platform on the internet. The user interface is amazing. Everybody really like seems to like it. And so it's just one of these things where it's a really good platform. Well, let me zoom in here. So this is the image they released. Now the internet is viewing this without the context of the shareholders meeting, which I listened to. Because I'm a shareholder, so I get to listen
absolutely to better. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. So what they're actually saying here, for those of you listening in the podcast, there's two slides up here, and they're saying unique and complementary. So it has HBO Max on one side and it has Discovery Plus on the other. So the HBO Max side has just bullet points underneath it that say male skew, scripted, lean in, appointment viewing, and home of fandoms. And on the other side, it has Discovery Plus, which says female skew, unscripted, lean back, comfort viewing, and home of genre domes. So the internet is seeing this without any context whatsoever. And everyone's like, this is like the most sexist thing I've ever seen. And I totally get it. And it totally does, because basically it feels like what they're saying is, women aren't into like scripted television or like DC content or, you know, any of these things.
Yeah.
But women want to watch is, say, like, you know, 90 Day Fiance universe, which
we'll
get back. We'll get back to here in a sec. So it's like, it's totally ridiculous.
Right.
But what they're actually saying was that this is what they found. This is what their data shows. Their data shows that more males watch HBO Max. They are more in, they watch, because HBO Max does have unscripted things like F-Boy Island and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they do have that. So it's actually saying that more men watch HBO Max, are more into scripted television, and are home of fandom. So more people are watching, say, Westeros content, DC content, Harry Potter content, those type of things. Whereas on Discovery Plus, this is what they found. So they want to combine them so that they can have one mega service. Now, this is where things get really interesting, because they have a three-tiered plan. They're going to have a free version of whatever this new thing is, probably Warner Brothers Plus, with ads. So in theory, you would be able to watch a mega show like House of the Dragon for free.
Wow.
With ads.
Okay.
Which is a total game changer in terms of viewers and everything. Because if that that happens, then House of the Dragon will absolutely steamroll everything. It'll be the biggest. Because Game of Thrones itself was the most pirated show on television.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, it was the most pirated thing. They also said, by the way, in the shareholders meeting, they said several times, like House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones more than anything else. Like they said that over and over. And they said that because House of the Dragon is coming up, that the viewers for Game of Thrones, like people who are going back currently right now and watching Game of Thrones, is through the roof.
Jeez.
Which in a shareholders meeting, like, you know, like you typically don't say that type of thing. Like you don't like, because you only talk for a handful of minutes and you're trying to ensure investors and everything that like that's coming up. Normally it's like mostly like it's all numbers, EBITDA and freaking, you know, retention rate and all this like, you know, nerdy number stuff. But I mean, they said several times Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, even more than they talked about DC and Batman and some of these other things. And like other big movies that are coming up. So that to me tells me this show is about to be freaking huge.
Let's go.
Huge.
Very happy to hear that.
Yeah. Huge. This show's going to be massive. Some of the other things that were sort of went on to say is they're overhauling like DC and Harry Potter and all these other things. But the one area they're not even touching is HBO. Regular HBO. If anything, they said that we're actually going to be spending substantially more on HBO than we did in the year past. Next year, HBO will be even bigger.
Nice.
So HBO Max itself is going to die, essentially. It's just going to die off, and they're no longer going to be creating, say, HBO Max specific shows. It will be HBO that can create whatever it wants, and then it will appear
on the streaming
service. Right. So now HBO itself has more control, but HBO Max is like not going to exist anymore.
Yep.
Because HBO is like the one thing at Warner Brothers that just works, where they're just keeping, what's his name, Corey Blas is his name, and he's been there since like 2002. So he's been there for an incredibly long time. He's been there for Sopranos and all of like the mega shows, and he's the guy. So like he clearly knows like what works and everything.
Yeah.
And this streaming service isn't even coming out until next summer, they said.
Okay.
Which leads me to believe that. One, so it's not going to affect anything this year. So like House of the Dragon or any of the other stuff that's coming out.
Right.
Don't have to worry about that. But it leads me to believe that next year, I would not be surprised if we do not get some other. I know there's like been nothing's officially been listed as filming or anything. But man, I would not be shocked if we don't hear very shortly here that there is another Westeros content thing being done at HBO, because when that new streaming service launches next year, which is a combination of Discovery Plus and HBO, you're gonna want like you're going to want some mega powerhouse show to be its sort of lead. That's like what Disney Plus was, The Mandalorian. Like, absolutely. Hey, we have this, you need this brand new big thing to sort of lead the charge.
Yep. Yep. No, that's a really good point. So what do you think that show is going to be? I mean, like,
it sounds to me, the thing that sounds like it's been in development the most time is Snow.
Let's go.
I mean,
God, could you imagine? That would take the internet by storm. And we've already seen it in our Ben the Knee channel, just people coming in, House of Dragons bringing people back in, and then Snow, that if that were the show that was going to sort of, as you said, you want people to go, hey, to watch the show. You can watch it for free with ads if you want. Go check it out. You can see Jon Snow again in a sequel to Game of Thrones. You're right. People are going to go subscribe. They're going to go watch the whole thing. And then it starts to kind of coax people into understanding what this new platform is and getting a sense of what they're doing. Because I thankfully have Matt to tell me what the heck is going on, because otherwise most people would be like, what is happening? That you need a way for the general public to understand, you know, what you can see and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Right. So you have that going on. And again, HBO is like the one area where they're not touching it. So it also sounds, they did say that they're going to be spending less on animation in the coming year, which to me leads me to believe that I do have a feeling, though, that some of the things that we've been teased in sort of George saying, hey, we're going to do this and this and this. I guess HBO has full power to do whatever they want, it feels like, compared to everybody else. With DC, they said, we want to do a 10-year plan like Marvel. Because now David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, who was the CEO of Discovery before it merged, so he stayed, is being advised by like Bob Iger, who was the guy at Disney who oversaw, you know, Kevin Feige and the whole deal. He mm-hmm. left like 2 years ago, ironically, once Marvel started to really decline. So they want to do like a big 10-year plan, because I read a lot of like leak rumors and the insider stock, you know, trading news and everything. And their viewpoint with DC, at least, is we have like a 10-year window, because Marvel is now in this weird phase where they're like, all of the original Avengers are gone. Yeah. And now we're getting the second wave, which is like, you know, Falcon is now Captain America and Hawkeye is now.
The JV team's up.
It is kind of, you know, like Thor is stepping down and the Guardians are going to leave. And so it is sort of this like JV Avengers team, to be honest. It is. It totally is. Not saying any of those characters aren't cool or whatever, but nonetheless. Yeah. So we have like a 10-year window to use the bigger things, which they sort of talked about here. So this is what they're sort of viewing as their like major powerhouse combined franchises, which, first of all, let me say one thing. Okay. So the number one franchise they have, they say, is Batman. Okay.
Sure.
They have Wonder Woman here. I guess you want to list all the DC stuff together.
That's fine. That's fine.
So right here, it tells me that their new plan is going to be some sort of Trinity. And that's what a lot of people are saying online. Because it sounds like the Flash movie that's coming out with Ezra Miller is going to be the end of like the DCEU as we know it. They're basically just going to do some sort of like Flashpoint, reset the whole deal, or just have the Batman now be like the leading thing.
Okay.
But here we go. Okay, I mean, let me get this straight. They do have Game of Thrones up here, and they have Harry Potter, which to me says, hey, of all of the Warner Brothers stuff, this is our three biggest things.
Yeah.
First of all, in no way, shape, or form should Shark Week and 90 Day Fiance be mentioned in the same sentence as Game of Thrones. And that's the last time I'll ever use them in the same sentence in my life. Okay. That is just freaking ridiculous. It's
wild.
I mean, like, what does that even mean? Right. Game of Thrones. You have Game of Thrones in between Shark Week and 90 Day Fiance. It's odd.
For people like us, it is odd. I mean, I didn't even know how big of a deal 90 Day Fiance was.
How does 90 Day Fiance have its own like what the 90 Day Fiance multiverse? Like what is
dude?
Like,
they're exchanging wives and everything. I have no like idea.
Is that Big Ed guy like the Thanos of the 90 Day Fiance universe? Like, dude, what even is that?
Like, I don't know. It reminds me of when people went crazy about like, you know, Survivor and all those different shows. Like that, they just it builds this, I don't know, it's your thing. You watch it like Shark Week. I hate sharks. I'm out. Like but for some people, it's a huge event. Like Stranger Things is coming on. They're like, it's Shark Week. And I'm like, what the heck? So
what the
I guess we are in this skew. It makes going back to that graphic, right? That's not our thing. So that's definitely not I'm not seeing it, but can we get
like now, I mean, now that they're combined, can we get some sort of crossover? Can we get like Dragon Week or something? Or
yeah, Dragon Week. Can we get like, I mean, yeah, like Jon Snow's like the new bachelor that he's trying to find his own.
I would totally watch some like reality TV in the Game of Thrones universe.
I was going to say that would be wild.
Give me, I don't care how stupid it is that there'd be cameras.
Like Essos to Westeros 90 Day Fiance thing. They've got like a,
well,
they've got to know
what I really want is like, you know, obviously, you know, they wouldn't be speaking to cameras because cameras wouldn't exist in the universe. But just for like a one, it'd just be hilarious if they just did
for fun.
It.
Yeah.
For fun of like Cersei and Joffrey and like Tywin and Tyrion. But it's like done in the style of like, those, you know, like when they have to sit down and do the interview or like, I just can't believe, you know, like it would just be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, that I would mean, be come funny. On. Make it happen. But I'm still it's just upsetting that you have Game of Thrones mentioned next to those things.
It's wild though. But dude, I guess that says something to the viewership of those things. Like, I guess those are huge. I mean, I don't know. It should.
It's also telling too, by the way, that all of the things you have listed on this thing, how many of these are actually Discovery properties?
Yeah, exactly. So
not many.
So I mean, I guess what's up with that? Like Discovery had the money to buy, or they just think they can run it. But I don't get the whole.
So why they bought it? So it was it's just sort of like AT&T was looking to sell it.
Yeah,
because AT&T made a series of terrible decisions, in which I get their idea. So when they originally bought Warner Brothers, the idea was, hey, this legitimately does make sense, and I get it. Their idea was everyone has phones and everyone is going to be switching to the phone being their primary viewpoint of where they watch media, where they watch media. So why don't we buy a movie studio, whatever, so that way we can offer a streaming platform with our phones, which they actually do. And actually that is going to continue, is their sort of
partnership.
Good partnership with AT&T.
Sure.
That makes sense, actually. I get that from the thing, but it's just they took on so much debt, and they also bought DirecTV, which was like, that was honestly probably what killed it for them, was DirecTV is like declining and they bought it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Terrible idea. So they just had so much debt.
I see.
And they want to begin, they have to now start building all this infrastructure for 5G. And so it's just like, how do we can't spend all this money to go build all sorts of new, you know, phone lines and all this other, you know, true like infrastructure stuff.
Right.
And spend all this money on like content.
Content, media. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like how at Disney, sometimes like Disneyland, the theme parks, you know, like hurt their business. Like during COVID, like that really hurt their business more than the television side, because you're still streaming stuff.
Yeah.
And so like that hurts your stock price and all that other stuff. There's a lot more to it. And we've talked about that as well. But so that was sort of the AT&T's reason for selling. Now Discovery viewed it as a chance to, we can really begin to turn into like a big mega powerhouse company. Right. And compete. So that actually was a good idea. It's just the problem right now is that it feels like David Zaslav's totally like this maniacal tyrant who's up there like canceling all of these things. So I mean, the Batgirl movie, I guess, was like done. I mean, it's like in post-production, and all the Hollywood execs and everything, like that just doesn't happen.
Dang, that is wild. So I mean, why not? So he thought he could make more money just by canning it?
Possibly? So you get, because
you get that write-off?
You get a write-off because of the merger is the reason they're doing it. But what it also says to people is that apparently they thought, hey, this thing is actually better for us as a tax write-off than to release it.
That's crazy.
And also their big thing is, we don't like Netflix, for example, A few months ago, it was like all over, their stock price absolutely plummeted because Netflix was giving out all of these enormous budgets for these streaming shows, including like Stranger Things, which is why it looked freaking sick. Because they were just like, hey, we just need more and more and more and more and more content, but they weren't creating necessarily good content. And so what they're saying here at Warner Brothers is, we want to make good content rather than just, we feel like they're going with a say more conservative approach, which is like, hey, we need to make good content that drives people to our platform rather than just having the most content for the sake of having it. They're going to get rid of the 45 day, then it hits your streaming thing. Hits your streaming platform. Okay. So big movies, they're going away with that because right now Paramount is making a killing on Top Gun Maverick. Had they went to streaming, it's like $1 billion. It's like seventh highest grossing movie ever. It's still making a ton of money right now because it's still in theaters and getting shown again.
Yeah.
Whereas you would have lost that money. Mm-hmm. You would have lost a lot of that money had it been only in theaters for 45 days.
Yeah. Well, cool. I mean, you know, I'm actually okay with the theater thing. I know that people are mixed on this or whatever.
It'll hit it eventually.
Yeah, it will. Exactly. And I like supporting, I don't know. It's one of those things that I enjoy the experience. It's an experience, you know? And eventually if you want to wait, you're willing to wait, it'll show up and people wait for it to come out on, you know, we used to wait for it to come out on DVD, right? If you didn't want to watch it in theaters, you wait, all right, when's it coming out on DVD? Bam, we go grab that bad boy and we watch it. So, it's just kind of going back to that. And I think it's good because I want the film industry to, I want the movie theaters to do well. And I want those things to kind of come back. I'm a huge fan of that. Can I just ask a question though? So the Batgirl directors, I guess, people are coming out. They're supported. Some people are trying to like, because essentially they were just told, "Hey, your stuff's not good enough, and you guys, this is bad." So that, I guess like Kevin Feige and some of the people came out and tried to support and said,
"Well, I think it's the director of Ms. Marvel. They're the people who did Ms. Marvel."
Really?
Yeah.
Which that's wild. Then, so what was so bad about it? I wonder if it wasn't more just that, like, hey, we're going in a new direction with DC. Right. This is what maybe we weren't blown away by it. We're not really. I would imagine maybe he says to them, "Hey, we're going to keep you. We're going to come back to this, but right now we're not doing
it."
I think
some of the problems are also, in all honesty, Ezra Miller. Seriously, because because the part of the whole deal they also said that, hey, Ben Affleck is going to be. I think they're. The whole deal is messed up because it seems like what the plan was, at least like a few months ago, was with DC. Hey, we're doing all these movies. We're doing the Flash movie where we're going to have Michael Keaton come in, bring him back as Batman. And he's now going to be the new Batman because Ben Affleck like doesn't want to be in Batman anymore because of all the stuff with like, you know, it's just the whole DC has been, it's been a train wreck. I mean, there's been movies in it that I loved and everything, but I mean, from a like production side, you can't even, it's not even close to compare it to Marvel fairly, which I pains me to say, cause I love DC and hate Marvel. But it's the truth.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But so then they've had to do tons of reshoots and everything. And then fans, a lot of the screen tests have said that fans have found it confusing that Michael Keaton is back as Batman. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. So that it's like for the screen test and everything, a lot of people are saying it's really confusing.
Right.
That they have multiple, and then they have Robert Pattinson as Batman in like his own thing. And now they're like, wait, there's like five Batman at once.
It's too much.
Yeah. So that seems to be the thing. That they're going with, which is why they're going to do it. But they did say that they still want to work with like the actress who played Batgirl and everything. It's just like this movie wasn't the one. It's too confusing. And then when are they going to release it? Because it seems like they need to establish some things here to have it work over here, which is why they're like moving Shazam and Aquaman and all these things around.
Yeah, yeah. I really hope they bring those guys back and just say, because it sounds like some of the elements. I mean, if it's confusing because this is what we're doing, we're bringing in new Batmans, we're setting up something with Flash and then Flash, and then they're going, yeah, we need to get past this. Like, we need to go to a new 10-year plan and we just got to move on. Like, this is going to only confuse fans more, and we need to, because to save a Michael Keaton moment for your 10-year plan would be cooler than, I guess, like bringing him in here and then this doesn't even count towards their, their project. Like, that's wild. Yeah, I guess that would get you kind of squander in opportunity by having it happen here where it's a part of this, universe that we're that was a mess. That is not really fitting. So,
right.
I don't know. I hope they go.
Well, forward. It's just like, it's just, you just go back to Justice League. And it's why now when I feel like, to me, the biggest problem with Batman versus Superman, the movie, which a lot of people have a lot of problems with, I personally love it. To me, the biggest problem was that I feel like the Wonder Woman movie should have came first, because when she shows up, when she drops in and it's like playing her music, it doesn't have the same impact as, say, when you watch Avengers for the first time. And like, remember the first Avengers movie, right?
Yeah.
Captain America is fighting Loki, and like everyone gets such a cool entrance. Like Captain America's fighting Loki in the streets, and then you start to hear AC/DC just like blaring, then here comes Iron Man.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then they're in the ship, like taking Loki with them as prisoner, and it's like, thunderstorm. And then like Thor rips the door open.
Yeah.
Everyone got these sick entrances. And so because you had seen them in their own movie, right? So everyone was kind of a fan of this person. Well, in the Batman vs. Superman, like, you know, Batman didn't get his own movie, which at the time was also fine because, like, everyone knows who Batman is. We don't need another, like, introduction to him. I get it.
Right.
But, like, Wonder Woman hadn't had her own movie. So you introduce Batman and Wonder Woman. But when I had when I've had friends and stuff watch it for the first time, I have them start with Wonder Woman, then go to Man of Steel, then go to Batman vs. Superman, and suddenly it makes way more sense.
Yeah. See that. Yeah, that's I also think, too, I know people want to react to kind of criticisms of different projects and stuff. But I feel like if you just did Marvel just pushed forward, they just never stopped. They just said, we're just making our next thing. We have a plan and we're sticking to our plan. Whether it's an up or a down, it's a plus or a negative. We're moving forward. And there were way more pluses than there were negatives until, you know, some of this recent stuff that's come out. And you just keep pushing forward, because then in the long, you play the long game. Whereas I feel like, the reviews for Batman versus Superman, they come out and people are like, we got to abandon ship. We got to shift everything around. Or I don't know, man. I want someone who this guy, I don't know. I'm reading stuff about this, this new CEO and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, set your thing up, set your plan up, get somebody to oversee it and say, here's the money, go do it.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, I mean, the sort of thing is, well, it does feel like a bloodbath is happening on DC, and they haven't even started talking about Harry Potter yet. But
yeah,
I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked if we talked about this on our Elder One podcast as well. Is I really do feel like in the next few years, once they gotta start making some more money and stuff like that. But I would not be shocked if in a couple of years they just flat out buy Harry Potter from J.K. Rowling and say, nope, like you're trying to find a way to basically say like you're technically, I don't know if they have to, if she has to sign off on any of this stuff to be fair, because it's one of these deals where it's like when you buy the movie rights, can't you in theory do whatever you want?
What I read recently from the Hogwarts Legacy game that's coming out, and this is a little bit different, right? But it's still Warner Brothers Portkey Games. I mean, and stuff like that. It's a property. So they came out and said, look, this is in cooperation with the author. And it is still, because people like in universe stuff, right? They want something that matters, that you can kind of say this is canon. That's just what people want. They don't want these oddball stories that like conflict and don't make sense. That's just not what people want. So they came out on there frequently. If you go to the Hogwarts Legacy sort of .com, their page.
The facts,
yeah, exactly. They flat out came out and said, this is, you know, it's our own story. We have our own writers, our own thing, but it was all reviewed by and approved. And, you know, so it's whether you like J.K. Rowling or not, doesn't matter. It for Potterheads, it's going to be nice to have it all in one cohesive universe.
Cohesive, yeah.
That's what you want. And then if she, again, like with Star Wars, Lucas sells that, and then you just know, okay, this is canon, and you understand what the universe is that we're working in. If they did make a move like that with J.K. Rowling or whatever, then it doesn't matter. You just build upon the universe that she already established and that she was already, you know, putting her stamp of approval towards. And that's fine, because that's what they did with Star Wars. Everything connects back to the originals and to the prequels, and you build out from there, and you say, this is what we're going to keep as canon. This is what we're going to move forward with. And there's not a whole lot of, I mean, Harry Potter products, like the Fantastic Beasts, like I don't think they would scrap that. They would just say, no, that's our thing. We did that with the author's approval. Let's make it better. Let's make a universe here. Let's actually give us the Dumbledore versus Grindelwald, and let's go at it. And then from there, maybe they want to do some stuff around. Maybe these Hogwarts Legacy characters are pretty cool and we like that. Maybe they want to bring back Neville Longbottom as a professor and do something. Those actors are down. They are down to come back. Tom Felton as Draco Malfoy. And they flat out, they are down to do it. And you can just move forward with really cool stuff. So I was glad to see that that's still something on their, you know, their big property. I mean, it's huge. Harry Potter, the fandom for that is massive. And again, you know, Matt and I on Elder One, we were talking about this, like where would we go with it? What is the future of it? Whether they buy it from her or not, and or they just keep her on board, like, okay, George R. R. Martin is, you get a five-year contract, like we're going to pay you to come in and help sort of, you know, make content. Look at that model. That seems to be, if the author is willing to do it, they know that not everything that they want is going to be approved, but fans feel better about it. You're getting paid for working on it, and it's still sort of your baby that you get to kind of, you know, take care of and also give us more content. And there are kids coming out right now, that growing up right now, that want to get into Harry Potter, but sometimes you need something new. You need that new thing that's going to like drive them back to the old books, back to old video games or whatever, by giving them something new. So there's nothing wrong with that. I hope they move forward with a whole new thing for Harry Potter. So
yeah. It's just, it's this whole deal. I do feel like Harry Potter is one where, again, maybe that's the, maybe, you know, we've talked about having a HBO Max, say Harry Potter show, which now it just feels like, basically, I feel like it seems like they had HBO Max like studios, essentially, like in theory, because they're just making shows for HBO Max.
Right.
And then you had HBO. So now it feels like HBO just has more of its freedom. And it's like one thing as opposed to kind of even two things on its own. So we would get a Harry Potter HBO show.
Oh, yeah.
And then that would then just appear on like the new streaming service. Yeah. Which could be the case, because now it feels like the guys over at HBO, from everything we're seeing, I mean, they came in and are axing people left and right. They're canceling movies. But the one thing they're like, they immediately were like, nope, HBO, you are like, you just keep doing what you're doing because you're good. So, I mean, they just gave him a huge contract extension and the whole deal that
you're the varsity team.
whatever his name, Ryan Kloss or something. I don't
know. Okay.
This exact, or I'll look it up here. But
yeah. But they basically said, hey, that guy can move forward.
You're going to do whatever you want, basically, which is great. So that means to me that, so really, if it's up to HBO now to say, hey, we want to do a DC show. We want to do another Game of Thrones show. We want to do whatever. Right.
Right.
They've also said they want to do these bigger theatrical releases for things. So this is going to kind of maybe change topic here real quick, is with all of the stuff that's going on at Warner Brothers, with all of these, with all these big changes, right? We're getting rid of HBO Max, essentially. Everything's getting shifted over. So there'd just be regular HBO, and we want these big quality box office movies, right? I mean, they're said Batgirl, 70 million, not enough. We need to be a bigger, better movie. Do you think we could get, with all of these ideas that George R. R. Martin has said and the West over on the Westeros side of Warner Brothers, do you think we could see, say, some Game of Thrones movies? Maybe that's like your story. Wow. And perhaps that you begin, maybe we don't get like an Aegon's Conquest HBO Max or HBO show. But you just, because I feel like you could easily do a handful of movies for that. Yeah,
that would be wild. I would absolutely love that. I mean, think about that for a second, because you have your shows, you have your weekly run shows or whatever. But if you decide, hey, we want to do something pretty big and we want to go see if we can make a lot of money at the box office, and we can get people back out to theaters, and this will eventually be a movie that we're going to add to whatever it is, like Warner Brothers Plus or whatever it might be. But that would be massive. You could do a whole movie, Robert's Rebellion or something. You could do a standalone thing. That would be, I think, the way, I've never thought about it. You know, to be honest with you, I never thought that would be something that they could do. But
right. Yeah. I mean, again, I got this image pulled up here. For those of you guys listening on the podcast, and those guys watching on YouTube. So during that shareholders meeting, right, this is what they were talking about, like, these are what they consider to be a combination of, say, they have it as HBO Max, but it's really Warner Brothers and Discovery Plus, as they're moving forward and they're going to combine the streaming services, and as well as they were talking about theaters and movies and what their plans are for everything. I mean, this is basically what they're considering to be their main brands, franchises, all of these things going forward. And it's like Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, of course, that's your big DC thing going forward.
Yeah.
Then they have Shark Week, which is like, okay, whatever. I to me, like there's no comparison to say DC and Shark Week. Okay. Like whatever. Okay. Whatever. But then they have Game of Thrones, and then they have the 90 Day Fiance universe, which I'm beginning to
Gonna start watching on the regular.
I can't even begin to fathom like what that even is. And then they have Wizarding World, Harry Potter. So if this is what you are viewing as these are our core pillar franchises of the new Warner Brothers company moving forward, and you look at what they did with the Batgirl movie, gone. Mm-hmm. You look at what they did with, they even canceled some like Scooby-Doo movie. We need to save money. We got to do these things. We want to have big mega quality, which is what they said in that shareholder meeting. Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Well, then what are you going to do with, say, Game of Thrones as quality moving forward? You have House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
But I could just see them saying, hey, this brand is so big with a new show coming out.
Yeah.
And with their new pillared platform, which is going to come out next year, where you're like, you could, in theory, watch Game of Thrones for free with ads on one of the streaming. They're going to have these three tiers. It's going to be like your premium, which is just standard, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like one with like you pay, but there's a few ads, and then the one that's free. I mean, that the potential of this show now skyrockets because more and more people will have access to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you then also can make a lot more money off of it from the business side of it.
Yeah.
But to me, that tells me, hey, we're the potential of getting Game of Thrones movies, like in theater movies, is there.
Like you said, I mean, the free viewers are going to come in, the ad revenue is going to be there. Then you've got people like us who will subscribe. And then you have people locked into a universe, right, that they really like and that they're enjoying. And then you say, oh, hey, by the way, our studios are still making stuff, and we actually went out with a real good quality kind of standalone movie about something that's Game of Thrones. And then you get people going there, and it's making a crap ton of money, like you said earlier with Top Gun, right? I mean, like if you have a high quality movie like that that you can send out there that people love, it's in the theaters, because some people just like to go. I mean, they might just go watch something in the theaters and be like, okay, this is cool. It's in this weekend. I want to go on a date. I'm going to take, whatever. We're going to go do this thing. Then they're like, what is this? Right. It's another kind of entry point for some people who just maybe aren't into all the streaming stuff. And then they go and they say, hey, now we have all this different stuff we can go consume for free. I can go watch Game of Thrones, and they're getting ad revenue. I mean, it's kind of it seems like a pretty cool model. Seems like a pretty good thing to increase viewership and, subscribers. I was reading an article where they said, They talked about their current subscriber base and where they think it will grow, right? Yeah. And I mean, they're looking at maybe close to doubling, like international viewership, right, and different stuff. They're talking about a major increase in terms of subscribers to this new thing.
Yes. So the advantage, I guess, we have some listeners and stuff like that to our podcast, stuff like that, that hit us up, at least like within Game of Thrones, just on all of our different podcasts. But Jordan messaged me. He lives in Canada. He says, like, we don't get I don't think they don't get HBO Max there.
Well, neither does Nikki. Didn't she say right, something like it's a different thing.
And she lives in England. Yeah. So, yeah. So some of our listeners from around the world have messaged us like, yeah, it's totally different over here. Whereas Discovery Plus does have this bigger foothold internationally. It does, I guess, really well there. So I get the combining of the services. It makes sense. It's probably the price is probably going to go up, which is whatever. I'll still pay the 20 if it's $20 a month. Yeah. I guess, then I will have access I can watch Game of Thrones. But I guess seriously, ask yourself this. Who has ever finished watching like an episode of Game of Thrones and said, "You know what I should really watch now? Some 90 Day Fiancé universe." I mean, like, what is it?
Well, again, you know what though? That makes sense too, in terms of people who having a free thing and having it, just be ad based or whatever. There are a lot of people, I'm guessing, who want to watch that type of content. They don't want to pay for Game of Thrones, but it's also there. You know, it, I just feel like the floodgates are going to kind of open for them. And, you know, you asked earlier about like Game of Thrones, like big movie releases or whatever. And I know DC has done this, but like if they started that whole Marvel project where you had, maybe you have a 10-year plan, but maybe you have some like your big theatrical releases as well as a short run six, you know, episode thing that's on their platform that you have to, that you go watch or whatever too, but you really could just watch the movies and it would make kind of sense. And the extra stuff is really, I mean, who knows what the, what they're going to do with that. I think that would be another thing that, you know, would be interesting to kind of see down the line. So,
yeah. Yeah. I guess I just look at, especially with like Game of Thrones, because like all the other things make sense. Like all of the other, you know, brands and franchises in say Warner Brothers, to me, like DC, like, okay, you figure it out. You're going to do a 10-year plan. You do it like Marvel, you do Batman movies, and then you do a Justice League thing. Okay, we get it. Harry Potter, you know, we know they're not, there's really only two places you can go. You can either go like Cursed Child Avenue mm-hmm. with Harry Potter after the right movies, after.
Yeah.
Or you do something before. Because I don't think you're going to do anything during. No. Game of Thrones, though, is the one that's the most interesting because just like with the idea of the snow show, we never assumed you could go into the future. Well, now that door is open.
Oh, wide open.
Yeah. Is wide open. And then we already know that they've had other things, which who knows? They're doing a lot of reshuffling. Some of these things may get canceled. I actually think the fact that they canceled that like Scooby-Doo movie, some animated Scooby-Doo movie, and there's been like conversations in like CNBC and you look at all this stuff where they said they plan on actually spending a lot less on animation. Right. So, I mean, obviously they own like Cartoon Network. You have to, and it's like some of these things are just animation only studios. You have to keep doing those. Yep. But, you know, like Georgia talked about, they're going to do some animated like Ice Dragon thing. I think that's probably canceled.
That probably doesn't get through. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I just, so to me of all of the things
they want quality. They said.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean
it doesn't, it could be.
I think you could make a quality thing, but to me, it's just confusing because like, what is it exactly? It's going to be here's this kind of Game of Thrones animated movie about like a kind of kids book that's like inspired Game of Thrones. Like I just don't understand who the target audience for that would even be. Cause like you want to target it to kids. Okay, now go watch Game of Thrones. Like, no, we don't.
No, I know. It's
too confusing. Like, do I want to see it? Yeah, totally. But
right. But you're right. Who's your audience for that? Like,
Who's your audience for that? And so, just with them saying they're canceling other stuff, unfortunately, I feel like that thing's probably done.
But you know, and then you shift your resources to different series and different continue. Like we had said, okay. Calling it House of the Dragon is huge because you can carry that all the way through a lot of different rebellions and a war with Dorne and tons of really cool stuff. So
everything I've been reading says there's going to be a lot of time jumps in this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that is encouraging. I'm looking forward to this. I felt like though this week I was reading some of the articles, I'm like, well, people don't seem very happy about this.
No.
Which I mean, look at this. I'll go ahead and say it. HGTV, I love it. Property Brothers, like it's awesome. Fixer Upper, like let's go. Those are good shows, you know? Like I like it. But to have it, I know what you're saying, to have it all on there feels a little clashy, right? It feels like it's a little different. So it's sort of, because when we first started the podcast, you're talking about branding. What is the brand? What's on this thing? To figure out what those things are, they need a good job of kind of communicating that and everything. So I don't know. It's gonna be it's a wild card of stuff. You know, it's a menu of.
They say it's all complimentary, but I'm like, I just don't see. I don't see how it is complimentary. To me, it feels polar opposite.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is that like if you're a family and you subscribe, like. This is going to sound so, I'm afraid to even say it, but like you have a lot of spit like this. You have maybe one head of the household who enjoys this type of content and another head of the household who enjoys this type of content. Perhaps that's what they're going for. And they're saying, hey, we can get people as a family. You might say there's a lot of stuff on here that our kids could watch this. And, you know, maybe. But
well, see, the way I view it is like, I think Disney has this sort of bundle where it's like, okay, you can get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, like as one thing. You can buy the bundle, which to me is what this feels like. It feels more of like a bundle of things.
Oh,
but then,
so
yeah, right. But then I guess you have it all under one umbrella. But to me, I don't know. I don't know. To me,
maybe
they would
do a bundle. Maybe it's going to be HBO, you know, like that actually
Right. But I guess they want it on like one mega app, I suppose. Okay. Okay. But then like every time you have to click, you start going through all of these different subcategories. Like it's one of the things I like about Disney Plus and one of the things I don't like about Disney Plus, because when I log into Disney Plus, okay, you've got Disney, you've got here, okay, boom. You got Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, I don't even Pixar, and then
it shows like, you on the top row.
Whatever the National Geographic or whatever, like who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. You know what I mean? But it's just like but the cool thing about that is whenever the new thing comes up, like Star Wars or Marvel, sick. I can click right there and then I can find it.
Yeah.
Searching for stuff on Disney Plus kind of sucks. And discovering things on Disney Plus also kind of sucks because you almost have to kind of know what you're looking for
to be able
to find it, because like Disney Plus has so much content on it that it ends up being kind of hard to even find. Like, you know, like it's like you think about like, well, they have like all of the old Disney movies and all of the old Disney cartoons and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, well, and then they bought all the Fox stuff. So it's like, okay, well, like, what if I just want to go watch The Simpsons? Okay. Then I have to be like, oh, The Simpsons is on Disney Plus. And then I have to go to, you know, searching for it. HBO Max has it down. They have by far the best user interface. It's not even close, because you click to one side and it gives you this full, like huge list of like 20 things. And it's like, okay, it's just so much easier to navigate.
Right, right.
Where,
Well, so, I mean, they're going to add to this. So maybe that's what they're going to do in the new, they take the same interface model and change the name.
Right. And I do get the branding, though, of HBO Max. Nothing about that to me says that I would be able to actually find Looney Tunes or any of the other stuff that they have on it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Cause for years, I mean, HBO was this thing that growing up, it was like, it's like, you know, you have to pay
great rated R TV,
great rated R TV. That was like, you know,
and movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Really solid movies on there and stuff that you could order a subscription, the whole thing. So, but a lot of them too, there was that rated R con. If you had growing up, if you had HBO
and after you stayed dark, on
after dark, 2 o'clock in the morning, you knew what you were getting into. I mean, it has that reputation. So,
right.
It's like, yeah, it's interesting when people think of it. If you're like us and you grew up with that, you're like, man, I have some risque TV. There's some, this cool kind of stuff on there, but. And then now, you're adding this Disney Plus stuff, which is going to be
Discovery Plus. Plus.
Yeah. And it's going to, it's totally different from what you think about in terms of your, you know, normal or whatever, stereotypical HBO stuff.
Right.
So it's like, okay, that's going to be weird to kind of sell. So you have to change the name.
Totally. Right. Yeah. It's just, it is. It's a, and then of course, HBO Max with regular HBO is confusing for the people. So, it's interesting. It was a total whirlwind this week. So many different things.
Yeah, like it's a lot.
So much stuff happened, like Star Wars and Marvel and everything. It was like, you know what? I think we just need to do a matinez episode because we can talk about all of it. And sort of one encompassing thing here. So awesome. Well, as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back with more. Be sure to check out all of our other projects like Bend the Knee, right? House of the Dragon, which we talked a lot about today, is coming up. Star Wars is coming up. She-Hulk, I'm getting a little more excited for. We may have to cover as.
I'm down.
Maybe do a little weekly cover. I did start a new job, so I have a lot more. I don't know. Something about it making me a little more.
You like
it? Sort of excited. So awesome. As always, guys, thank you again. This is Matt Nez signing.